Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Thursday. I hope everything is fantastic where you are. I'm Pete Donaldson, joined by Luke Moore for the second time this week. Very enjoyable. The Luke and the Pete reunited for a Luke and Pete Show. It's what we're doing. It's what we're doing.
Not many people volunteer to spend twice a week with you and I, Pete, including I include the partners we have access to in that. So the listeners really are a special breed. And we thank them every day for it, or at least twice a week when we're on the air. But it's Thursday. My Lake District holiday is fading into the distance. It will soon be nothing but an occasionally glimpsed memory in my mind. But the weekend is on its way. The summer has finally feels like it's here after we had the coldest and I think wettest May in 100 years. So good stuff. Lots of reasons to be positive today. Peter, you're still in Whitstable or Canterbury, whatever it is. How are you getting on?
I'm all right. Since we last spoke, I've eaten an atrocious amount of oysters. So I've not fallen ill at any point, so they must have been quite fresh anyway. I've just been rolling around Whitstable, went to the zoo, and I'm having a bloody lovely time, quite frankly.
Speaking of oysters, and I forgot to mention this on Monday, but have I told you about the family members I have access to relating to oysters?
Is it your partner's brother has got some kind of oyster hustle?
No, so you're basically, the partner I have access to, his family are very interesting for a number of different reasons, right? But her cousins, Jacob and Justin, possibly the two coolest family members I've ever had, have got this amazing life on Wellfleet on Cape Cod, right? So think like the setting of Jaws, it's like that. Obviously not in the 70s now, because that was 50 years ago. But they've got their own oyster business, right?
Yes.
And every Thanksgiving, we go up to Vermont, and they join us, and they bring, like, basically two massive cool boxes full of oysters, right? And they shuck them as many as you want. They can eat as many as you like. And apparently, they say this, and they supply oysters to the trade and stuff. I'm pretty sure they garner a pretty penny for it. They are the best oysters in the world, apparently. Now, I know people are going to have their own opinions on that, but they're amazing, and they taste really, really smooth and really creamy. And like I say, you're able to eat as many as you like. It's a real luxury. I'm always very grateful for it, but it means that oysters elsewhere don't taste as good. So it's a real first world problem. But what I sometimes get them to do is I get them to do like oyster shucking races between them in the big garage at the house we stay in. And anyway, I'll share a video of it. I'll send it to producer Nat and I'll share a video of it on Insta because I've got a video of them doing it. And astonishingly fast. Like really fast.
Because they use little knives, don't they?
And chainmail gloves.
Oh, right. That makes sense. Yeah, because a lot of the people that were serving me the oysters in Whitstable on the coast, a lot of them had like little blue plasters on their hands. And I was like, that's just get yourself some chainmail gloves, guys.
The pros do have chainmail gloves. So I think at the Wellfleet Oyster Festival, I think it's called, they have because you know Americans love like a competition, right? They have oyster shucking competitions there. And they've all got the old the gloves. The chainmail gloves do look amazing. It's one of those things that you get a little bit Alan Partridge about looking at it and thinking, "Oh, I'd love to try one of them on," but I don't.
I've, I, 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 yeah,
I, to wear one.
When we were in, when I used to work in a sandwich factory, I got the chance to wear a chainmail glove for opening. Was I opening cans or something? I think I was opening a lot of cans at the time, and it just meant I could grab the sides of the cans without actually when I was throwing in, you know, those big industrial-sized kind of cooked tomato kind of tins. I was sort of throwing them in, so I had to open them really, really quick, and then chuck them in. So yeah, it was really fun holding like a chainmail glove. No, it was a terrible job. It was horrible. They wouldn't allow me to wear aftershave. and I like wearing aftershave.
Was that just specific to you, though?
Yeah, it was just a terrible aftershave, yeah. But it does taint the food.
You're too swarthy as it is. Two, you don't got the fragrance.
But there was a guy whose job it was to... there are these big industrial-sized trays, like the size of a man. And there was one guy's job to sort of just wash them off with, like, a high-pressure hose. And he'd have his own little separate room. And every time I walked past, I sort of stuck my head in. He looked so much like my dad. It was unbelievable. I was like... And I never got the guts up to sort of go, sorry, you don't know Stuart Donaldson, do you? Because you look exactly like my dad. It's so weird. Well, it's a toss-up between... It could have been my dad's brother, maybe. I don't know. It's a toss-up between... Because my dad, this week or last week, the big Friends reunion happened, and everyone... No, he wasn't, but... Joey Tribbiani in later life, white hair, like a kind of a big guy's shirt, folded arms, looking at the rest of the guys and Friends. It did make me laugh because all of the Twitter memes about, you know, him being like a good Irish old bloke, Irish looking old bloke who looks like a guy who could get you tickets for the rugby or whatever. it looked so much. That's exactly my dad's kind of. His sartorial kind of lack of elegance is basically what Joey Tribbiani was wearing on the Friends thing. So it's a toss between that man who used to hose down the trays or Joey Tribbiani in 2021.
I don't think Matt LeBlanc is your dad. And I don't want to be rude, but I don't look at you and go, oh yeah. Ironically, he looks like every other human being in the world, but you look less like Matt LeBlanc than anyone. So I don't think it's Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't look like Matt LeBlanc, but my dad looks like... he doesn't look like Matt LeBlanc because obviously Matt LeBlanc is a very good-looking man. All right, he's a cross between Mussolini, Matt LeBlanc, and the man who used to hose down trays in a factory just near Melton Mowbray.
Okay, nice. And also, you were doing that in Leicester when you were at uni then.
Yes.
One of the things that I found interesting about the response to Matt LeBlanc, and every single person who's listened to this, I'm sure, would have seen it. And if you haven't, you can just find it on any social media.
It's endlessly funny. Him being an Irish dar is so funny.
Yeah, but do you know what I found interesting, Pete? I don't want to get too kind of earnest about it, but it did kind of strike me as like, and I don't really want to get into the idea of expectations around men and women and the celebrity culture and all the rest of it. But essentially, when you take it of its essence, Matt LeBlanc just looks like a handsome but pretty standard older dude, right? He's put some weight on, he's going grey. He's not taken any measures, as far as I can tell, to try and make himself look younger. He's not gone Hollywood kind of Botox. He's just normal, right?
Mm.
And he gets completely criticised, like hammered for it.
Oh, no, I don't think it is. I think it's a really warm kind of like...
I don't think he would have enjoyed it.
I think he would. Look, if you're
the idea that you look like some kind of spivvy Irish farmer is the compliment you think it is.
I think that, like, you know, like when Beyonce said, I'm tired of being sexy. I imagine Matt LeBlanc has had enough years where he's looked sexy. So don't worry about it. Like, he's forget about it. No, wait. How am I doing? I've put on a bit of timber. I'm 50 odd. It doesn't matter.
He didn't say forget about it. He said, how are you doing?
I forgot. I didn't like Friends all that much after, like, the third series.
No, no, no,
once Ross and Rachel got together, bore off.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, tell you what. I don't know the relative ages of both the men, but... And like I say, I'm not trying to dig at anyone. I'm just saying that, like, he just looks like a normal dude, right?
Mm.
And it's interesting to me how it would be passed... It would be, you know, it's worthy of comment of this nature because he just looks normal.
Mm.
I dare say if he had gone down the Simon Cowell route, he would have got hammered for that. Because him and Simon Cowell probably similar in age. And Simon Cowell, I don't want to be rude, looks fucking mental. He looks mad.
Yeah.
Right, he looks completely mad. He looks like he's wearing a death mask of his own face, as you would say.
I think heavier set kind of like features on a face. Things have happened outside of the normal body aging, the normal body's aging process. But like, I think when people
talk
like
about thick set people, I think it should be me. I'm talking.
but if you started dicking about, your chin would go all weirdly sort of pockmarked, and it would look damaged. Like,
but look
you
at
know,
that wattle.
Yeah, well, yeah, but exactly. But if you started pulling that in, it would just look weird, and your like face that. Would look strange. It wouldn't be, yeah, it just wouldn't be right. Yeah, you just look all pulled. Especially when you've got like stubble on your beard as well. You just look at like Ross in that thing. His hair is pitch black, and it's like you had pitch black hair back then. But yeah. Like, mate, we know your hair is that colour, and I'm a man who's dyed his hair all kinds of colours. I understand it, but it's just like, geez.
Yeah, I never really understand that decision. So each their own and all the rest of it. And we're not trying to sound judgmental, we're just chatting about it. But I've never understood why men want to kind of stop the greyness. Like, to me, I get the balding thing, I totally understand that. But the greyness, I think, it doesn't matter what age you are. Like, I think you can still look really cool. Like, Fabrizio Ravanelli went bald at like 19, he looked fucking amazing. Everyone's different. I get that, but I was just going to say that I just find it interesting that Matt LeBlanc essentially just looked like a normal bloke, and he got battered for it, like absolutely battered.
I don't think he did get battered. I think there was some genuine warmness because he felt and the way that he sort of carried it. Did you watch the show, by the way?
Like, no, I didn't see it. No.
I saw it, and it was a bit cringy because those things generally are. James Corden was fucking on it, for crying out loud.
How is he so popular, by the way, Pete?
I don't think the Americans are as cynical as us, but they probably haven't had as much James Corden as we have, you know. So
what you're saying is they'll get there.
They'll get there. They will get there. Yeah, yeah. They're just way more positive, I guess. But yeah, he just looked completely sort of normal, and it was it was a bit cringy at times, a bit weird. Obviously, you know, Matthew Perry didn't look particularly like he's had a great time. But yeah, it was a little bit like, you know. We don't need these shows. We can just enjoy the thing and then leave them alone. But maybe this will be the end of like the kind of reverence these shows enjoyed. Because I think a lot of TV shows back then, they obviously, you know, it was an appointment to watch. You couldn't avoid watching Friends, could you, Luke? The whole nation, the whole country, the whole world would sit down and watch Ross and Rachel get together. But obviously, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so many TV shows you can watch. So nowadays, these kind of things, these kind of cultural touchstones, won't be as prevalent. So we won't have as many, I guess, celebrations of one particular thing because they won't be popular enough. It's really easy to spend $10 million per head to get the Friends lot together because, you know, they'll get that money back. But for other TV shows, I don't think you'd see that. Maybe Game of Thrones, maybe.
Yeah, I still don't think. It's changed now. I still remember watching Game of Thrones like as it came out, but I don't think you need to. Like, they talk about these kind of water cooler moments, don't they, and stuff. But like Friends was definitely like that, obviously because of the era it was. And I think I'm right in saying, I was just trying to check what you're talking there, but I couldn't find it. I think Friends, like the numbers of people streaming it when it got added to Netflix was absolutely unbelievable. Like there was some crazy stat that like, I can't remember the exact numbers, but like if every single person on earth watched, the amount of times that Friends has been streamed, every single person on earth could have watched it like 13 times or something. It's fucking, it's incredible.
It's
how
fantastic.
Popular it is.
Well, do you remember when like Channel 4 had their sister channel E4 and they had they used to play Wall to Wall Friends all the time. And people, it got to about after 10 years of this just playing the same bloody thing over and over again, I think people sort of got a bit sick of it. Except they didn't. They were still streaming it. It was still incredibly popular. But I think I was talking to somebody who worked for Channel 4 at the time. They sort of said, look, we could spend 20 grand on putting a film on, or we could just spend 20 grand on putting Friends on, and Friends would have 10 times the viewership if we tried something different. So why should we bother trying something different when, you know, but it's about, television is all about bums on seats. And eventually they got rid of Friends and it went over to Comedy Central and now it's on Netflix and stuff. But it's just incredibly popular. It's like a big, warm blanket. And I speak from perspective of a man who listens, who watches the TV show The Office every single night, the US Office.
It's inspirational.
Two episodes every night.
It's good for everyone to know that even people in TV are going, why should I bother doing anything else? And I like my favourite part of it is the theme tune. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Right. By the way, Pete, I want to change the subject. I've got no way of checking how long we've been recording for, by the way, because the TV's gone off, so you'd have to keep me
on check. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Did you see, and lots of people raised our attention to this, and you've kept this under your hat, but our listeners have seen right through it. You've not told us that you've opened a new cafe in Blackpool. The new Cogs Cafe Bar on the Lytham Road.
It's a Cogs sounds very much like it's some kind
of
steampunk.
Would you say you've embraced the popular star which mixes futuristic gadgets with Victorian and Industrial Revolutionary machinery?
Good God. Look at her.
Here's a quote from Pete, everyone. He's opened a steampunk cafe. He says, I love everything about steampunk and the Industrial Revolution. Without the Industrial Revolution, we would not have all the things we have today. And from it came things like the Blackpool Tower, the Winter Gardens and the Pleasure Beach. So there's a local connection to Blackpool itself. Yes, there is a fucking steampunk cafe opened up in Blackpool. And I cannot tell you how annoyed I am that I drove past Blackpool yesterday and I didn't see this until this morning, because I'd have gone there and I'd have photoshopped you in there, baby boy, and we'd have got a load of good social traction of it.
Absolute state of that. Some kind of exposed wood, like metally kind of seats. They've got some old violins on the wall that have painted black. And I mean, it's spotty, isn't it? Isn't it?
It's a local business to try and do well, right? I don't know why you're so critical of it.
It just seems like there's. I mean, there's so few Cogs in the place. Like their big thing is Cogs, but they've got more chains than Cogs. It's all very confusing.
Oh, so your argument is they've not done it well.
Yeah, I don't care for steampunk. I think it's tedious. I think it shows a paucity of anything creative. But if you're going to do something, do it. I've been in steampunk bars in places like Tallinn and Cluj and places like that. Like this guy, he's got three cogs on a wall with a chain going round it.
Oi,
in like
you're
a like a kind
you're
of triangle.
Not into steampunk, but you've gone all the way to Cluj to go to a steampunk bar.
Yeah, well, it's part of my better judgment. Yeah, but it just seems like they've not bought enough cogs for me. They need more cogs, Luke.
Hear me out here, right? Tell me about what you think about this. Only Fools and Horses steampunk reboot.
Right, okay.
So Del Boy becomes a Victorian time traveller in the H.G. Wells style.
Yeah.
And Rodney has to find him.
Yeah, and they move a cog in the wrong... They buy this magical cog-based piece of equipment and they turn the cog the wrong way and an airport gets wind of it and sends one of their planes into them. Do you remember that? The plot to one of the... They bought a satellite dish that went wrong.
Yeah.
And for some reason it made a plane land in Peckham. that was the end anyway.
But it wouldn't
the end
be
of
a plane,
episode.
It would be like an airship.
A floating cog bird. Yeah, exactly. Big flog.
Anyway, if you like steampunk,
bird.
You're in the right place. It's Donny's thing. If you like Only Fools and Horses, you're in the right place. Also Donny's thing.
Yeah.
Email us in about that kind of stuff. Keep bringing these kind of things to our attention. Pete Donaldson is a completist on both those things. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to read some of the emails that you've already sent in. And it's going to be bloody exciting. Believe me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. That's
tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Bernie Katz was fun, he was kind. When he walked in, the room just lit up.
And there was something magical about this young man that just had a glint in his eye, that didn't give a shit about anything, but loved everything.
My first impressions were of a huge, vibrant and outgoing personality, all hugs, grins, extravagant language and wild attire.
Always in a leopard skin jacket, whirling around like a windmill. I know, she's a character. I don't know if those people exist anymore. They're sort of dying out. Everything's changed.
It is a bank holiday weekend in London, the late summer of 2017. The streets around Kentish Town, just north of the city and halfway towards Hampstead Heath, are unusually quiet. That evening, in a small, converted flat, just a 15-minute bus ride from King's Cross Station, Bernie Katz, pocket-sized and long-standing front-of-house manager of London's Groucho Club, is found dead by his landlord.
I said to him, what happened? You know, and he said, we are not talking about it. And yes, there have been the rumours. We've all heard. I mean, what did I hear specifically? That he was murdered.
His relationship with his father was so toxic. He hated the idea that his son was gay. His dad was a proper gangster. Bernie came down, there was a car far from. Guy blows his dad's head off.
They were all part of the same fetid, seething, self-referential nest of vipers that I think the Groucho had become.
Was Bernie depressive? I think yes. When alone, a condition he rarely sought, he had demons that flew about his head.
I get a call from Bernie and he is in £20,000 worth of debt with the Albanian gangsters in Soho. We all collected and paid the debt.
The way that the Albanians operate is very, very peculiar because they did not operate like any other mafia in Europe.
I've never been able to establish exactly what happened and why, but whatever it was so wrong.
Bernie, who killed the Prince of Soho? Listen now. A Stack production, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. It's the Luke Peat Show Part 2 on a Thursday. We do this every single Thursday. We want to know your battery brands. Have you found a weird battery that you've never heard of before in a cheapest bit of Chinese electronics you bought from Wish.com? Joshua Williams, he's emailed in with a Tianq Supercell. I think that's a new player, Luke. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it might be. I think. By the way, are they always Chinese? Am I being naive here? All the electronics, they're always Chinese, are they?
I guess so. I mean, they'll all come from one big bloody factory, won't they? And then they'll just be rebranded up to something else.
Okay, well, Joshua, congratulations. I think that's a new player you're officially in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dom Cairns has emailed in with Aerocell East Power and Royal Heavy Duty Batteries. I think he's written RCYL, RCYAL Heavy Duty Batteries. So I think that might be either a misspelling on his part, or maybe they've just gone really off beat with their naming of the battery.
So
a Racel.
Aerocell is definitely not a new player.
East Power might be. Yeah.
And if that's RCYAL Heavy Duty, then that's a new player as well. But if it's Royal, I don't think it is. The jury's out.
Okay. Yeah, and this one's a bit of a treat. I love these ones. ODY on Instagram sent in some Panasonic
wow,
batteries.
Wow, so it's like a knockoff of Panasonic.
Yeah, they've had a go at Panasonic and they've come up with Panasonic.
That is great.
Fantastic stuff.
It's like people have tried to spell Panasonic phonetically. Having never seen it written down. I'm here for that. That gets in no matter what.
Very enjoyable. But if you've got a battery cell that you've never seen before that you want the nation to know about, get in touch. Hello at lukepeachshow.com. Get us on Twitter or get us on the Instagram. Emails, Lukey Moore. Let's get a couple in before I have to chip off.
Yeah, emails. Right, I've got one here from Dave. Hi to you, Dave. He says, hi, guys. Pete's driving test woes reminded me of something from when I was learning myself. The first time I visited a test centre, but not for my test. I was actually on a driving lesson parked up as my instructor and I talked through the giant roundabout I was about to negotiate for the very first time. It was Toyota Island near Derby. I've never heard of that before, but the way Dave writes it is like some kind of big thing, so I'm sure it is. He says it connects two A roads with another B road and multiple lanes. Quite a hectic location for a learner. As we talked through the island and where I was going to be driving on it, another learner car pulled up in front of us and stopped in the same lay-by. A woman...
Race.
The world's slowest race. A woman in a high-vis jacket got out of the passenger door, followed by a very shaken female learner driver. Turns out someone had just crashed into them on Toyota Island while the girl was on a test.
Oh, no.
The examiner had to immediately void the test... And seeing us stopped, asked for a lift back to the centre. She wasn't insured to drive the car. So the remainder of my lesson saw me driving the 20 or so minutes back to the test centre for the first time without actually taking the test. I never did see the reaction of the girl's instructor when she turned up back at the centre without the car. Separately, I passed first time some months later. 5 minors, 2 for speed. All the best. Drive safe. Dave. Now, great story. I always wondered what would happen if someone crashed into you when you're driving your test and doing your driving test. Now I know. Secondly, I don't think you should be an examiner and not be insured to drive the car back.
Yeah, you'd think at some point you would have to be. Yeah, you would have to be at some point have to be able to take over the controls, because I'm fairly certain that if I am on a lesson with my partner and I sort of say, all right, well, let's go and have some food. You can do a lesson and we'll drive to a pub in the next town or wherever, next village. I'm fairly certain she can't get shitted because she might have to take over the controls at some point.
Yeah, how can you be a driving test examiner and not be insured to drive any car?
Yeah, you think you should be able to take control of any car that you're doing a test in. Yeah, it's weird. I think I've talked to my instructor. He says that he, on more than one occasion, has heard of... people taking their test and other learner drivers doing something mental and people failing their test because of other learner drivers on the road just doing something a bit mad and them not kind of being able to anticipate it properly.
Yeah, I can believe it. Are you back on the horse now, are you?
No, I've not been able to secure a test yet, but every week I'm sort of getting out on the Fiat with my partner and doing a little lesson here and there. But the thing is... I'm all right at it, Luke. I just fucked it. As Kanye West album cover said, I just fucked it. It's just the way it is, isn't it?
You can be as all right as you like, but you need the paperwork, mate.
Yeah, I know. You can get when you're on your test, you can actually get you can get banned from driving. If you're doing something terrible, you can pass your test, but you can get banned from driving because you could accumulate enough points to get banned. Which is hilarious. Yeah, you pass the test, but I'm fairly certain you can accrue, points that mean that you, if you did something weird, but it wasn't in contravention of the actual test, I'm fairly certain that's the case. But you can get points on your license while you're doing your test, which would be annoying if that took you over the threshold for being banned.
Speaking of like driving tests and driving licenses, have I ever talked to you about the that bit of footage? I think you can still find it on the internet of the Libertarian Party.
Yes, yeah.
Primary in the US, where I think I think the candidate for the Libertarian Party is Gary Johnson. It certainly was then. Who's like, you know, quote unquote reasonable libertarian. And for those who haven't seen it or heard it, he's asked a question among a load of other candidates about whether he thinks people should have to have driving licenses. And he says yes, and the place erupts.
Erupts, yeah.
Boo! Boo! He's like, well, I think you should have some kind of way of knowing whether you can drive or not. No! Boo! Like that. It is incredible. It's absolutely amazing how you think in practice it's a good idea for no one to be able to pass a test to drive a car on like 8-lane wide motorways in the US.
Yeah. I actually agree with that, to be honest. I think that's correct.
Fucking hell. Listen, you'd be fucking sitting pretty if that was the case.
I know, yeah. Just let me have a go at it, for crying out loud. I'll learn the job, so to speak.
You wouldn't be in Canterbury now. You'd be anywhere, in theory.
Anywhere, yeah. in the intercontinental UK. I just chuck this quick email in because it really made me laugh. It came in a little while ago, and it's weird because I did the exact same thing when I was 23. Sam Cadman got in touch. He says, I was listening back to an episode where office parkour was mentioned in the intro, and it brought back some crazy or hazy memories from my old uni days. I was at the old O2 Academy in Birmingham back in 2009, which had offices on the floors above it. Cue one crazy evening of £1.25 vodka Red Bull drinks, and by the end of the night, I was pretty drunk. I got separated from my housemates, but somehow found myself in the underground delivery area for the venue whilst looking for them. I took some stairs, and before I knew it, I was in the empty offices on the floors above. As I went around the various rooms in the office, I wanted to ensure that I didn't get locked out so I could make my way back to the O2 Academy and to my housemate. So I decided to take the keys from all of the doors to the rooms that I'd gone through. The office was bare and there's no one around, and if I was caught, I could just hand them back to security. However, I managed to find my way back to the outside of the venue via the rooftop and via a service staircase without needing any of the keys. Needless to say, I was relieved, but the next day brought on shock. I found that I'd kept all of the keys, and so I had about 20 to 25 keys from my time in this office. And these stayed with me for the rest of the year until I moved out. He just stole all of the keys. But he said, upon reflection, I think that the office had been prepped for viewings for like a sale or a lease.
Yeah, that makes this it
could,
worse.
Yeah, this could be the only reason for the office having the keys and all the locks, all of the doors being open and not having any furniture or possessions of any sort. This may have caused some mayhem for an estate agent. Sam, I did the exact same thing. In the Birmingham O2 Academy,
what?
I waited until a bouncer left his post for a piss or whatever, and I ran up some stairs in the Birmingham O2 Academy, around about 2004, I think. Queens of the Stone Age had played earlier on. I sneaked up, found the Queens of the Stone Age dressing room, stole some cranberry juice, went on a fucking wild tour.
You've never told me this before.
I have, yeah, and I will have told it on this thing as well. And then just went on a fucking wild tour by myself. I used to love that. Like, I used to love sneaking about when I was pissed and bored. And yeah, just kind of walked around, stole a bit of cranberry juice, walked around just the innards of the O2 Academy, found myself, no word of a lie, inside the air conditioning unit for the entirety of the O2 Academy. like a big video game fan that was like three times the size of me, just going and a big vent that was just pushing. I was on my own, yeah, just pushing air through the entirety of the O2 Academy. Then I found my way down some stairs into the shopping centre that was next door. I was just walking around an abandoned shopping centre at fucking 4 o'clock in the morning, there was this kind of like little door that I managed to sort of clamber underneath, do a little Indiana Jones through. But it just made me laugh because, Sam, I did the exact same thing in this exact same building around about the same time that you did it. Very strange.
The two most disappointing words in that story, cranberry juice.
I know, right?
You've never told me that story before.
I have, definitely have. Because it was the same night that and then I didn't know how to get home. I've definitely told this story in the podcast where I didn't know where I was going, but I knew that my mate lived near the Saddam Hussein Mosque, RIP. Saddam paid for it to be built, so I don't know. My feelings about Saddam Hussein, I've really never really explored them. But he built a mosque. It was obviously unpalatable for that mosque to exist after the fall of Iraq, so therefore they renamed it or got rid of it or whatever. But they used to live. I got a taxi to the Saddam Hussein Mosque and then got back to my mate's house. Walked into, remember that girl's room that was in the exact same position as my room.
I knew this was not going to be a heartwarming story forever. Right.
I told you, I went for a piss, like fucking 5 o'clock in the morning. And came out of the toilet, and the toilet in his house was in the exact same position as the toilet in my house in Leicester. Came out, turned left, that's where my room is. Climbed into what I thought was my bed, pushed a woman out of bed because I wasn't used to having women in my bed, and I was like, fucking get out of my bed. And she woke up, called her ex-boyfriend who lived downstairs to come and turf me out. She was just like, and I just climbed what I thought was my bed and just started pushing a woman out of the bed. Go, get out of the bed. Luckily, she was cool about it, which could have gone incredibly wrong and worse. And I'd have every right to be in prison right now. But, I slept, walked into someone else's bed. And it just unlucky that it was a woman. Unlucky that, I just pushed her out of bed.
You,
didn't want him in there.
You walked into the room saying, you will not believe the size of the fan.
The cranberry juice.
At the O2 Academy in Birmingham. I mean, it's at least 3 times the size of me.
Oh, dear.
Unbelievable. Listen, we have to end the show there. I mean, there's no way to follow that, really. Mm. I mean, the gift of Donaldson keeps on giving. It's a part of the reason why we do this show. In fact, some would argue it's the main part of the reason we do this show. From that to opening his own steampunk cafe in Blackpool, the man has got it all in his locker. Thank you very much for listening to the show. As ever, please do leave us a review if you enjoy it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we very much appreciate that too. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Look after yourselves and each other. Email in your favourite stories. Email in things you want us to talk about and we will do so. We'll speak to you then. Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
That's goodbye from me as well.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.